Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the heart of today's message is this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The enfleshment of God is what this day is all about. It is a historic fact. At Bethlehem, God visibly entered the world by being born a human being. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, he came down from heaven and was incarnate, enfleshed by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. The eternal Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, did indeed take on flesh. The Creator of all things became his creature. The Word, through whom light shined into darkness, through whom sea and sky and dry land were separated, through whom plants and birds and fish and animals were made, he is the one in whose image men and women were created, the one through whom all creation is blessed and held together. The Lord of the universe sets aside his royal robes and puts on diapers. He who perfectly reflects God's glory and bears the very stamp of his nature, who upholds the universe by his word, takes on our flesh and blood. The infinite becomes the finite. The eternal breaks into time. In this little baby, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Jesus, the entire fullness of the deity dwells bodily. The eternal word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the Old Testament, God's dwelling place was a tent, the tabernacle. Then, of course, the temple in Jerusalem. That was where God's glory and his holy name resided among men. But now in these last days, God has come to dwell with us in a far more intimate way. His dwelling place is now your flesh and blood. His temple is his body, born of his mother Mary. His temple is also your bodies, joined together as living stones united by his body and blood. Behold, brothers and sisters, the wonder of Christmas. The only begotten Son divested himself of his kingly crown and scepter to take on the vestments of a servant. He came not as a stranger, but rather he came as your brother. Not as a judge, but as Savior. Not in power and might, but in weakness and humility, he came to be Emmanuel, God with us. The incarnation to many people, however, is disgusting. Christmas offends. It always has, always will. Nothing new under the sun here, folks. There will always be someone trying to outlaw the celebration of Christmas. Sinners do not want God to be so close. They don't want God to be God in that way, way down here in the flesh. Why? Because sinners want to be God, to replace God with themselves. Sinners want to exalt themselves, be the center of absolutely everything, and be little divinities and not God's creatures. There is no inherent desire in us to become servants. Instead of serving with the towel, we throw in the towel. We do not tie the towel around our waist to stoop down and wash people's feet. We want nothing to do with becoming nothing for the sake of others. We sinners are bound in our 24/7, 365 quest to be gods unto ourselves. And so what does God do? Incredibly, he does the unthinkable. He reaches down to you, to be with you, his rebellious sinners. He reached down to you deeply. He became one of you. The least among us, the most despised, a tiny, poor, helpless infant. We did nothing to bring him from heaven. He comes without our invitation, without our preparation, decision, or welcome. He comes without our help or our consultation. Instead, he is sent. He is sent by the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is simply pure gift to you and to me, sinners. This is why the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. However, the Word became flesh without what? Without sin. He is holy and sinless. This is the one big difference between Jesus and you. Do not forget that Jesus has no earthly father. God is his father. Jesus bears our humanity then without the inherited stain of Adam, because he has God, not Adam, as his father. And this is very important. With Jesus' birth, learn that your sin is something foreign to your humanity. The Word became flesh without sin. We think that our idolatry and killing and coveting and adultery and immorality and drunkenness and lying and gossiping and greed are what it means to be human. To err is human, everyone says. Wrong. That's absolutely dead wrong. The Word became flesh to preach a different sermon, and it is this: to be a sinner is not what it means to be a human being. To err is to be inhuman or unhuman. Sin does not make you a human. Sin dehumanizes you. Sin makes you less than a human. Sin is a foreign object, a cancer, a toxin that has seeped deep into our human nature and has polluted our humanity. Sin robs you of your dignity as God's creature. It drives you to despair and a miserable death. So Jesus, the Word made flesh, what does he do? He recovers and rescues and redeems your humanity. He reclaims the dignity you once had as God's foremost of the visible creatures. Jesus restores the image of God to your flesh and blood. In Jesus, God in his fullness is pleased to dwell with us bodily. And so now you can boast before all creation that your flesh and blood sits enthroned at God's right hand and rules over all things. Even the angels bow in awe and adoration before this God-man, baby Jesus. It used to be the custom to bow the head and even bend the knee at the words of the creed and was made man. That's a good custom. And it's a shame that we've forgotten it or that we just simply outright oppose it. We just rattle through the words of the creed, apparently not thinking what we're confessing. We glide right over the greatest wonder in the universe and this world, that God became man in his Son, Jesus Christ. He made his dwelling among us. And his dwelling is proactive for you. It's for you he did it, and for your salvation. The Holy and the Sinless One takes our human flesh and blood in order to do what? To take up your sin and to bear it in his body on the cross. So he who knew no sin was then made to be sin. Your salvation depends on the Word made flesh, Jesus, bearing your sin and answering for it. If he does not do this, then you'd have to carry your sin yourself and answer for it all yourself. And that would have hellacious results. But the good news is this: Jesus has indeed taken your sin and all of its damnation. And his word of forgiveness gives you, incredibly, his holiness and his perfection. Hear his word today in the sacrament as he dwells among you still. He says, "This is given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, all of it." He says so. To believe what he says, that he is God for you, and to receive what he gives in his word and sacrament, is to live then as what? As a human being, his creature who lives by faith. Faith alone in him, and then love for others. In the name of Jesus. Amen.